Yo, and here we go. We talk fantasy football. This is show number 9. This is one that's called, what is it? Good from afar, far from good.
Good from far, far from good. Yeah, there you go.
And this is a special road rage radio version of We Talk Fantasy Football, as we are doing this on the commute to work and then edit it together. I don't know what move I'm making here. Back to home again afterwards. So, you know, I'll try not to curse being in a car and driving. So I'll do my best here, but absolutely no guarantees as I completely take the wrong turn already. So basically the concept of this one is I'm Mo, host. Got a championship-winning manager, Brett, with me.
Yay.
And Brett, what this one is we're going to talk about guys whose stats may lie, whose stats may not give you the actual truth about how good they really are. So let's get rocking here. You got a good list there, and I'm behind the wheel, so why don't you, in the immortal words of the Beastie Boys, kick it!
Well, there you go. Actually, there's just one thing that I want to talk about quickly beforehand, is after watching some of the Monday night game, for those of us, and I know it's me, and I know it's us a lot, who have Michael Vick as a quarterback, I say, give up. Give up now. Because he has.
You know what? You're right. He has given up.
I have never seen...
And that team has given up.
Yes. I have never seen a quarterback as deflated looking as that guy, you know, after a first mistake or anything like that.
Yeah.
He just goes off the field, sits down, and gets talked to.
Yep.
He has got no fire, no passion. Drew Brees, the game is, well, by that point, virtually out of reach, and he's still upset when he makes a mistake.
Oh, Drew, yeah, like Doug Flutie used to be. It didn't matter. I mean, yeah, Doug Flutie used to play here for the Calgary Stampeders where we were. I remember you and I going to a basketball game where the Calgary Stampeders were playing against their crosstown rivals, the Edmonton Eskimos, in a charity game. And late in the game, the Stampeders were up by about 30 points with about 2 minutes to go. So the players just kind of were casually walking up to the court, and the players and the Stampeders and the Eskimos were talking to each other. And Flutie looked at everyone and went, "Go!" And he meant it. You play hard to the end, even if it's just a bad charity basketball game. And so that's the thing about Drew Brees. He has that same mentality. Maybe it's because he and Flutie were in the same backfield for a little while. He learned some good habits. I'm not sure. Maybe it's just his personality. Yeah.
But yeah, number one point is that Michael Vick is just... I don't see him getting out of this slump.
No, and
period.
He makes... I don't know. Right now he's making Tim Tebow look like he can throw.
Oh, absolutely. Sure is. Yeah. All right. Let's get on to the meat of the episode then, so to speak.
Sounds good.
The first... just to start out with quarterbacks. The first quarterback that I really... noted on the list, and this is off of NFL.com, and I think this is points per reception, so it can skew the running backs and wide receivers a little bit, but in essence, that's only going to give them more points. So, the first quarterback is ranked number 11th, and that's Matthew Stafford. Now, Matthew Stafford has 170 points, which is pretty good for a quarterback overall. And he's at 140-point game.
Yeah. Yeah. That skews it.
It totally does, because you're talking about virtually a quarter of his points have come from one game.
Yeah.
And if you tack a couple of other good games on into that, then you can see that there's lots of room to have bad games.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Matthew Stafford, I think, is a fine example of exactly what we're talking about here. If you look at his stats, you think, oh, he's still a number one quarterback. But truthfully, week in, week out, you can't necessarily count on him to be that the way he's played this year. They are looking like they're starting to pull it together there, though.
Absolutely. But another thing about the 140-point game is he has only had one 40-point game.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple of quarterbacks out there who have had a couple or three 40-point games that you know, you can, even if they're not going to have a 40-point game every week, you can trust them that the potential for that 40-point game is certainly out there.
Well, I mean, I think Eli Manning falls upon this. I think Eli Manning is somebody you look at and you think he's, you know, I mean, everybody would consider him a starting quarterback. But I think he's about 15th in the stats. He had the one monster game himself and a couple decent games. And then especially over the last 4 weeks, he's really, not played very well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's in this ranking, he's 13th. Mm-hmm. So just 2 points. And in fact, he only has 7 points less than Stafford.
Yeah, and he played one more game.
Yeah.
That says something.
And he has the 37-point game. And a couple, and like you say, a couple of good games. And then the rest has been, well, especially lately, terrible.
Exactly. And it's affecting, Hakeem Nicks had the one monster game as well. And I know you're sitting there, people are sitting there going, Hakeem Nicks is still a wide receiver one. It's just he's being hurt. But truthfully, I'm not sure. Right now, he isn't. Right now, because Cruz gets all the looks. And Eli Manning has an inconsistency. I'm not so 100% sure that we can count on you know, Nicks as being a solid number one. I mean, he doesn't look like it.
Well, Nicks last year was hurt for most of the year as well.
Yeah.
And he still put up stud numbers.
Yeah.
And that's what people are expecting this year. They're expecting, and Hakeem Nicks is not per se on my list, because he's not putting up good enough numbers to look good from far.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think only thing that makes him look good from far is the fact that he's Hakeem Nicks.
Exactly. I think another guy I had on the list that I was thinking of like this was Stevie Johnson, who first two games had decent stats, first two week games, and then he had a decent week this last week, nothing special, but decent week. But first couple of weeks, he's putting up close to, you know, about 15 points per game, and then he just went on an unbelievable slump. And technically, you'd say that guy's a wide, I think most people would say he's a solid wide receiver too, but he's ranked number 25 in most leagues in scoring stats. So if he's number 25, yeah, you'd say he's not even a solid number two. He's a low-end number two. And really, if you consider the fact that you take away those first couple of games, over the last six games, he's not even that.
Yeah, I mean, Stevie Johnson has the...
He has a reputation. You think Stevie Johnson, number two, playing like a number three, though, at best.
Well, and it's funny because he has the talent, essentially, to be a number one.
Mm-hmm.
But he is totally stuck by playing on the Pop Warner offense of the Buffalo Bills. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
They can score points at it at a random given moment, but until they upgrade the quarterback, until they upgrade the right wide receivers around him,
Fitzpatrick is obviously under. I don't know about their offensive line still. Fitzpatrick is still under a lot of fire, deservedly so. But ultimately, it comes down to the fact that they won't use their best weapon. And that's another guy I have on my list. I don't know if he's on yours, but C.J. Spiller. Again, you take away those monster games of the early season, he's still, I believe, in the top 15 or top 12 in overall scoring. But I think he's number 24 or 25 again. Over the last four games, if you look at his points per game average, I think he's number 24, which is, again, a low-end number two. And, you know...
Well, I didn't have Spiller on my list because he has had some good games. Like,
but
he said,
all were in the beginning of the season.
No, actually, he's had a couple even recently.
No, he has not put up more than 10 points over the last 4 weeks.
Well,
that's not true. He put up 10, 10, 15, 10.
I believe in PPR, he's put up a little bit more.
No, I looked it into it.
All right, I looked at it this morning too. So I mean, we're obviously
we're looking at different leagues. Maybe I wasn't looking at PPR, but either way, he's not a number one. That's for sure. Over the last 4 weeks,
no, absolutely not. And until they, like, we agree on the core concept that until he gets used in that backfield properly, then they're going to fail.
It's absolutely. Just give that guy the ball.
I mean, there's a few more quarterbacks that I just want to quickly touch on.
Mm-hmm.
The number 12 ranked quarterback, Andy Dalton. He's had two 30-point games early, and he had a 28-point game recently. Otherwise, he actually has put up below 10-point numbers.
Mm-hmm.
For a quarterback, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, actually, and you know what? He's absolutely somebody whose stats are skewed, because if you look at it, he's actually averaging more points than Eli Manning, per game. But that said, I don't think I don't think you can trust him by any means, even as a backup. I don't know if you know if you can trust him in a spot starter situation, because he could go off, but you're just as likely to just get nothing.
Yeah, and the weirdest thing is that you can't even trust the guy who has probably the best wide receiver in football right now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And he makes the occasional good throw to him. But, you know, another guy that's, talk about that, though, might have the best wide receiver in football right now that is on my list was Josh Freeman. Because Josh Freeman has been, over the last 4 weeks, a top five fantasy quarterback. But before that, was not top 20. And if you really look at it, he's had two monster games. One over the last four, he's had two monster games, one good and one not so good. And just look at the guy's history. He's probably going to go back to game manager status. And I think if you're looking at him to be a number one, you're going to be disappointed in the second half. Though he does have great chemistry with Jackson, and Jackson's awesome. I just think that he's going to end up being still a solid number two, but nothing more.
Well, I think that that's just the style of football that they play. The better Doug Martin gets, the more likely that Josh Freeman goes back to game manager.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, just to kind of wrap up quarterbacks, you know, a lot of people have talked about Tony Romo, and he's not playing that well. But he's deceptive because he's on track for a career high in yards, but he's also on track for a career high in interceptions.
How many interceptions is he on track for?
I believe he's on track for 26 interceptions.
Ridiculous.
And I don't think he'll even hit 26 touchdowns overall.
Yeah.
The thing is that from a fantasy perspective, Tony Romo's not your worst player.
No.
From a real-life perspective, Tony Romo's a problem.
Tony Romo's an absolutely huge problem for the Cowboys. No question about it.
You know, and Michael Vick, a guy that whenever we drafted him, we said to ourselves, well, you know, he's going to have good games, he's going to have bad games. We understand that there's going to be ups and downs. But his legs will pull him out of it in a lot of cases.
You kind of expect consistent numbers from him based solely on his running ability.
Yep.
Last night against the Saints is probably a good example. I think he threw for 270 yards, and he threw one touchdown. He threw the ball up 40 times and had like a 50% completion ratio. He adds 50 yards on the ground. Tell you the truth, that's kind of what you expect. By the end of the night, he gets 20 points, even though he played like crap. You know, but I don't think that... He hasn't even done that this year. He hasn't run much. And like you say, when he gives up, and that team can't keep going with him. Andy Reid, I don't know what they're going to do. I feel for the guy having lost his son, but he's lost the team as well. And it's a rough situation there in Philadelphia.
Well, for a quarterback, for a starting quarterback with the ability to run, he has not topped 30 points this season.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Again, you can't run. You can't have a team with that quarterback right now. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the number one running back that I want to talk about.
All right. Number one running back we want to talk about. I just want to say this. When we're talking about points and we're looking at it, I think I'm looking at points per game average, and you're looking at total points.
That's right.
Which skews it. So if you look at points per game average, trust me, Spiller's down there.
No, and I totally buy that.
Yeah.
100% buy that. The first running back, though, is Jamaal Charles. Of the 123 total points that he has, mm-hmm. 45 of those came in one game. I mean, that's
a third of the
more
season.
Than a third of the points for his season, one game.
Yeah, exactly.
How does that not skew it?
Well, that means you got one win and you got what, six losses?
Yeah, pretty much.
and yeah, I mean, it's tough because how do you bench him? But on the other hand, when you play him, you can't expect to win. It's a real rough situation.
And I understand that right now, especially, he's been having problems with injuries and he's questionable a lot. But that's another giant problem.
Exactly.
He does have the question marks now.
Yeah.
I mean, at the beginning of the season, he had question marks. He has this 45-point game. He loses all the question marks.
And I think he had one other fairly decent game somewhere around that period.
He did, yeah. He had like two, like he had a great game and a good game.
Yeah.
And then now it's kind of being like...
That's half his points.
Yeah, absolutely. It's more than half his points.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Number 14 on the list is Stephen Ridley.
Yeah.
You know, he's been the picture of consistently inconsistent.
Yep.
He's had four games over 20 points and four games under 20 points.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he was on my list as well.
What do you expect from him?
And trending down the previous of his last four games, three of them were not so good. And then all of a sudden he had one good game the last game. But, you know, I mean...
But given
the situation, the blowout in England, you know, with him, I mean, I don't think you can...
Well, and also, given the fact that he is still...
And I'm going to have to pull off because we got behind a construction vehicle and we're, well, slowing right down, aren't we?
We are slowing down a bit. But I think the key thing is we're slowing down like Stephen Ridley.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and Alfred Morris, a guy on my list. Because Alfred Morris, top five running back in the first 4 weeks. And his last four games, he's, about number 23. You know, so all his stats came from the beginning. He never puts up a dud. Ever. Really.
No.
You know what? And that's what skews it. But all of a sudden, from going for games where he's consistently putting up 14 points, consistently he's putting up 9 points. And, you know, at least he's not putting up one or two, like a Darren McFadden.
Yeah, Darren McFadden doesn't make the list because he's been nothing but
bad.
He's
just been bad. There's been no good there. Nothing to say that he's good, except for the fact that he's Darren McFadden again. But, yeah, I mean, he's a guy on my list where it's like he's not really right now giving people enough that they can count on. Him as anything more than, again, a low-end RB2. But his stats will say he's a RB1.
All right. Reggie Bush.
Another guy.
Bush flew. He was not drafted as a running back, even two, for the most part, I think.
Well, he's C.J. Spiller. They're the same player. You know, as far as they came out of the bench just rocking it. Spiller's actually been a little better lately than Bush, but both of them have just slowed way down.
Yeah, I mean, Reggie Bush, 1 38-point game.
Mm-hmm.
It has 115 points overall. He's had, you know, no 20s in forever. Like, I mean, he's barely even topping double digits in a lot of these games now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, part of it's usage. They're confused as to their usage. Like, they're using Daniel Thomas in passing downs and Reggie Bush running up the middle. And I mean, it's just like, huh?
Well, the thing is, Daniel Thomas is a good receiver. And that's what makes it actually difficult. Unfortunately, Reggie Bush is a fantastic receiver.
Yeah, Reggie Bush is the guy who you use in space.
Exactly.
And bottom of the list for me, like... Is Sean Green.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say whatever you want about the Jets and their ground and pound and their horrible, and I often will.
Yeah.
But Sean Green, of his 104 points, 37 points came in one game. The next one, I think he had like a 20-point game.
Well, that's exactly it. I was looking at Sean Green as well. And what's amazing to me is here's a guy who, over in points per game average over the last four weeks, is in the top four. And yet, overall, he's still in the number 20, in the top 20 overall. What does that tell you? How bad was he? And how can you not expect him to go back to being that? Because historically, he's had a couple good games and then... basically put up nothing.
He was abysmal early on in the season. And we're not just talking about early. We're talking about through 75% of the season so far.
Yeah, exactly.
He was absolutely abysmal. So, I mean, the more that we look at a guy like Sean Green, I mean, he's a microcosm of the good from far, far from good.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? If he continues to put up good games, considering nobody can have any fear of the receivers or quarterbacking, they'll just stack the line and shut him down again.
But the truth is, and he is, like we've said, their only option, except for Tim Tebow. Mm-hmm. He is their option because there is Powell and McKnight suck. They suck worse.
Yeah. And the other thing is, that's their offensive line has two really good players and then three really terrible players. It's one of the most inconsistently built offensive lines in all of football.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about some wide receivers.
All right. Let's do it.
Well, first guy on my list is a guy that he wasn't drafted to be a number one per se, but he was definitely a guy who we felt could be a number one, had that potential. Jordy Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's one of the top wide receivers. Well, he's probably the number one wide receiver on Green Bay overall. I mean, Craig Jennings has been that. It's questionable whether he is or isn't right now. I mean, he's injured right now, so he's not. But
yeah, no. But going forward, whether or not going into next year, I mean, Cobb, to tell you the truth, is probably emerged, and we saw Cobb is kind of the same thing as Nelson. But Nelson was on fire towards the end of last year.
Yeah, and absolutely.
That's really where we're basing it on.
Yes. You know, but this year, Jordy Nelson, he has one game of 42. 42. Yeah. And he's capable of those games.
Yep, absolutely.
Another game of 29. And he has a total points scored of 131. So, again, I mean, that's half of his points have come in two games.
Exactly.
So, I mean, he is a good receiver. He's a great receiver. But he's a scary receiver prospect right now.
And, it comes back down to the same idea. Green Bay, there's so many targets that it becomes difficult. I mean, it seems like when he's on, that's the guy who they target. But as a general rule, you have difficulty knowing who it's going to be. I mean, we talk about Jordy Nelson. We talked about Cobb, who actually technically probably you would say by the numbers would be more consistent. Jones as well, though, is another guy who's kind of in that same thing. He's had a couple really huge games. He's, I believe, top 20 in as far as actual scoring for wide receivers, but it's coming off of just a couple of games. So it's not like this is almost more like a Green Bay thing than a Jordy Nelson thing. That said, Jennings seems to me to be somebody who I think is just hurt. He's not that old, but sometimes some players slow down earlier than others. And so I'm not really sure about him. But I just have worries with Nelson that he's actually fragile. He seems very fragile to me. Kind of like we were saying about Nix. I'm worried about Nix. He seems fragile. I think Nelson kind of falls along that same category for me.
Yeah, I totally can see where you're going. I mean, I have heard rumors that Jennings will be let go with this offseason and then because he's the oldest of the bunch. So
yeah.
Really, why keep him in that regard when you have James Jones, when you have Jordy Nelson, when you have Randall Cobb and all that? I mean, they have lots of receivers. So, I mean, but they also have the quarterback to get it to them.
Well, that's the thing. The quarterback was just he's really amazing. You can't say enough about Rodgers. There's one guy who is not far from good.
No.
He's just a damn good. You know what? I just want to mention, though, since we're talking about them, and we've talked about the inconsistency with JerMichael Finley, and he was another week, even though he's spending special one-on-one time with Rodgers trying to find the chemistry. I mean, he wants to get it back. Who's not? The wide receiver, the tight end to keep an eye out on, though, to overtake that and put up surprising fantasy numbers, just keep an eye on Crabtree. Because, he's had a couple of games there where he's getting end zone targets. So just keep an eye out for him.
Well, the last game, he actually, I think he only got the one target. He just took it upfield for 71 yards.
Yeah, exactly. And when you do that, you know what? You're not going to be on the bench very much.
So. No, it's very true. Next receiver on my list is Dwayne Bowe. I mean, he has a horrible, horrible quarterbacking situation anyways. But he's had one game of 33, one of 27, and he's got 124 points.
Yeah, somehow when we're doing this list, I hadn't even thought of Bowe. But you're right, he's the epitome of this. And last year, I think he led the AFC, maybe even the NFL, in targets. I mean, he had a bunch of targets. This year, I'm pretty sure his targets are down. But, I mean, they're a team that they don't seem to have an identity. And let's face it, they don't have a head coach who is really going to give them the type of leadership it needs to get out of it. So,
He doesn't have any clue what's going on. And I think ultimately, neither does the offense.
No, exactly. I feel like Dwayne Bowe is going to be would be a great receiver if he could just get the hell out of Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean that quarterbacking situation, everything about that team screams disaster zone.
But yeah, I mean, at some point in time, it becomes more than quarterbacking situation. At some point in time, it just becomes a change of scenery that a player needs.
Well, and I mean, look at. You've also got to look at this in the fact that we're talking about from from all these players that we're talking about, for the most part, nobody is on the same team as a general rule.
No, exactly.
Except for Jamal Charles and Dwayne Bowe.
Yeah, no, and that's not a coincidence. That's not a coincidence.
The last wide receiver I have on my list out of Miami is Brian Hartline.
Yeah.
He is crazy in this format because he's got 48 points in one game and 124 points overall. The guy has one touchdown this season.
How do you have a 48 game point game and not have three touchdowns?
I know.
It's crazy. You know what? He's perfect again. It wasn't just that game. He was seeing a lot of targets. He was seeing a lot of targets the first three, four games. I think first three.
And the last game wasn't bad. I mean,
last game he got a lot of targets again. I think he got five catches for 50-something yards and 10 points. And in a PPR, that's decent. Honestly, that's probably what you expect out of Hartline. If you were consistently getting low-end wide receiver three numbers for where you drafted him, you're getting five or between five and seven catches and between 50 and 70 yards per game, you'd probably be pretty happy. It's that the expectations got raised. Playing for a contract and everything, you know, but ultimately, I mean, the team would be winning more with Matt Moore in there. But since they're not going to play him, they're going to play Tannehill, and I understand why. It's going to affect somebody like Hartline.
Yeah, I mean, Hartline has always been up and down. It was just because he raised the bar this year, especially in that one game.
Yeah, exactly.
That now he's on this list. Because if he doesn't...
And also because who he did it against. Didn't he do it against San Francisco?
Yeah, I think so. It was a good team, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. And
So yeah, when you do that, absolutely. Is it noticeable? Hell yes, it is.
Absolutely, for sure. For sure. Well, we already talked about Stevie Johnson, who I had on my list. So
yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, he was really the guy that I looked at the most. That's a good number. So what else have we got going on here?
Well, I got a couple of tight ends.
Okay.
I got my first one is Tony Gonzalez.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And, I mean, here's a guy who had a 34-point game for a tight end. That's extreme.
I just thought he was actually getting consistent numbers for the first four or five games and then fell off.
No, he's had some good games and some average games in that first while. But of his last, I believe it's like three out of his last four or four out of his last five have been poor.
Poor, yeah.
And I think that's the thing where you can look at that 126 points, which puts him like third overall in tight ends or something like that. But again, the way he's playing lately is completely overshadowed by the way he played earlier.
Well, and again, it comes down to the same thing. This is a guy who you really didn't have huge expectations for coming into the season. You were hoping he could put up low-end number one numbers, and that's probably where he's going to end up settling in. I mean, he's a remarkable player for his career. He's the greatest tight end of all time. Or at least greatest receiving tight end of all time. That's it.
Yeah.
End of story. He is. And, you know, he's still quite the player for his age. At the end of the day, though, he is an older player on a team where they have to get the ball to their two wide receivers because those are the best talents and give them the best chance to win. So he's a decoy. And for that reason, he had a big game or two. But he's a decoy player at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he's an amazing physical talent, but the truth is that he's still old, and he still plays on a team where there's only one football to go around.
There is only one football to go around, and that's a team that you know, despite everything we heard, they haven't abandoned the running game. They haven't just become the crazy. They're not the, you know.
They're not the Packers.
No, they're not the Packers. I was going to compare them to. I mean, a lot of people, I think, were thinking they're going to be like the greatest show on turf, the like the Rams type of deal, you know, playing in an indoor stadium and such. But, they're not. They are a team with who is very balanced, and that's for the best for them. But fantasy-wise, probably is skewed a little bit. I mean, Matt Ryan's another guy. I mean, he was on fire, but, you know, he's not a top 15 quarterback over his last four games. Again, on points per game average. But he was just crazy in the early part of the season. But people don't even realize that. They found more balance, and he has, you know, because of that, I mean, they're winning, right? They're winning with their balance. So another guy I think of, back to the running backs, is just Mike LaShore. I mean, his numbers are going to be inflated so much because of his three touchdowns this week. But, and he hasn't played that many games. But he's another guy I just go, I don't believe in him that much yet. I just don't. I just think he caught a situation where he was able to, you know, catch a team that couldn't stop a run in an end, in a red zone. And he took advantage. I mean, he made one really nice cut. I saw all his touchdowns. But most of the time there, that wasn't so much on him as on the team he was playing against. It was, I can't even recall. Who was it? That was that the Jaguars. Sorry.
Right. And the Jaguars and can't stop anybody.
The Jaguars can't do it. So, I mean, again, if you're thinking I'm going to put my, I don't think he's not Doug Martin. You know, I wouldn't strap my cart to that horse too early.
No, that's for sure. The last tight end that I have is for a total different reason. I've got Heath Miller.
Mm.
He's a guy, he's played well before. Like, nobody debates his talent or anything like that. And
he's a fine NFL player. He does everything well.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a great blocker. He's a good pass catcher. He's a fine runner. All that stuff. But the one thing that I want to say about him is that he's really consistent this year. But his numbers are completely inflated by the fact that he has six touchdowns.
Yeah.
And there is no way that I can see that Heath Miller is going to finish with 12 or more touchdowns.
No, it's absolutely not going to happen. It's absolutely not going to happen. You know, he's just not that. He's not that guy. He's never been that guy. They would love to establish the run game in the red zone anyways. And you know what? We have seen tight ends have had periods where they've tended to be targeted a lot in the end zone. But I still think of the end zone. And, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of talent to go around there still in the receiving corps. It's been inconsistent. But, yeah, I mean, at some point in time, again, he's a decoy. And the decoys, I don't believe he's going to continue to get it for the entire season. What do you think? It's just historically, it's not his role. But
no.
4 to 5 touchdowns per season is kind of his historic role.
Yeah, and I just see him as much as they've changed, I mean, with Todd Haley coming in as the offensive coordinator, as much as they've changed to the dink and dunk kind of style, I think there's still very little chance that Heath Miller winds up maintaining that level of touchdowns.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, I think that's just about what we got here then.
That's the end of my list right there.
All right, and my list was all done because I was driving, so my list was all done from my head, so I hope my list and my stats and everything came out okay. Otherwise, we talk fantasy football. We're going to BS it, and you guys won't know.
We won't know either.
We won't know either, yeah. We're not saying we're the most professional. We're saying we're the most fan-friendly.
That's right.
Because we're fans. That's it. All right. I guess I'm Mo, M-O at We Talk Podcast. Mo_WeTalk. There's no E on my name. If you attempt to get a hold of me, email me, reach me for whatever reason, argue with me, tell me I'm an idiot, talk about me in another podcast, and it's okay. You know, you don't have to let me know. And other than that, what do you got to say?
I'm Brett. That's Brett _WeTalk at, or just _WeTalk. That's on Twitter.
That's your
and then it's Brett at WeTalkPodcast.com. I'm pulling a Chris there and putting the ads in different places. But
there you go.
But yeah, that's pretty well it for me.
Yeah, other than that, I just want to say go Stampeders this weekend in the CFL playoffs.
That's right.
And anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I think I'll add, we'll see you, and we'll beat you.